When the NHL playoffs begin, the players involved grow beards. It's a tradition. Some of the players who aren't involved in the playoffs may also grow beards, but that's up to them and nobody cares. However, NBC Sports Chairman Mark Lazarus does care that the players in the playoffs featured in his broadcasts are bearded. He said so this week. In fact, he said, "Let's get those faces out there," thereby giving me something to bring up in Three Stories You Should Know, our weekly discussion of the sports matters that you might have missed. This week, Only a Game's Karen Given and Patrick Ruby, contributing editor for Vice Sports, join me for that spectacle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Bill.
Great to be here.
Okay, so my story is the bearded NHL players. And I think Mark Lazarus, who also said, let's talk about how young and attractive the players are and what model citizens they are, has made a fool of himself. Playoff hockey is often terrific. The Blackhawks and the Lightning have a great final series going right now. And people who don't care about that will not be convinced to care if the players go around appearing more cherubic. If the NHL eliminated fights by suspending the combatants for half a dozen games or so, then the sport might grow. But promoting the players as model citizens who shave regularly is not going to do it. It's just silly. Patrick, what do you think?
I mean, how much of a difference is it going to make if you are not a hockey fan, you're flipping channels, and all of a sudden you see a guy who's in a helmet and in all sorts of hockey body armor and has a visor on, but oh my God, I can see his chin and it's clean shaven. Wow, I'm going to stay here and get into this sport. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Karen?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone is agreeing with Lazarus on this, and certainly not the players. But I actually wonder if it's the quality of beards that's really at issue here, because the beards this time of year in hockey are always so bad. These guys are not ready to grow them.
That's true. They're unruly. All right, Patrick, you're next, and I assume that whatever story you bring will be considerably more serious than mine.
It's slightly more serious. It involves some allegations of academic misconduct at the University of Texas with the football and basketball players there. It's a very good story in the Chronicle of Higher Education by a friend of mine, Brad Wolverton. The gist of it is that, as always, players seem to have maybe gotten away with some cheating or being slid through some very easy classes in order to help the school improve its performance of its sports teams in the classroom. We're not talking about lazy or bad students. We're talking about these very elite athletes who often, for various socioeconomic reasons, are not elite students. And the schools bring them in anyway because they want to perform on the field. And now they've created this incentive to cheat. And they pump these kids out on the other side with no real education. And if they get a diploma, it's basically worthless. I think there has to be a better way. And I wonder, and I want to know what you guys think of this. If these schools could stop pretending, if they could say, look, if you come here with NBA-level basketball ability, but a sixth grade reading level, we're going to put you in some remedial classes. We're going to start there. And maybe we won't graduate you in 4 years, but maybe we'll get you on the way and we'll actually educate you. Now, this would require the schools to stop pretending that all these kids just happen to be college kids who are really good at sports. And that sort of is how they defend amateurism. And I think that's why they don't do this. But I think it should change. What do you guys think?
Karen, why don't you take that one?
Well, obviously, I think it's a great idea to actually educate athletes. I also think, and I've been thinking this for a long time, players should be able to come back whenever they want and actually get an education. UNC, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Michigan, Indiana, they all have programs where players, after they've gone out in the world, can come back and say, hey, you know, I really did want my education. But they have to finish the degree they've already started, which half the time has been like the coaches said, hey, kid, why don't you major in communications? Or, hey, kid, why don't you major in physical education? I think they should come back and say, you know, this time I want to be an engineering student.
I think that sounds like a great idea. I worry a little bit about the definition of college-level learning, which is kind of getting lower and lower for students, whether or not they happen to be athletes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the colleges would be a little bit scandalized at first to do this, but if they would just be honest, if they would just admit, look, we're in this big-time sports business now. Everyone seems to like it. It does good things for our schools. The least we can do is actually meet some of these kids where they are and bring them as far along as we can with their education. I think it would be a better deal for everybody.
Karen, it's your turn to come up with a story you think we should all know about.
All right. So my story comes from ESPN's Kate Fagan. I saw this on her Twitter feed this week. It's an academic study by social scientists at Purdue and USC, and it's all about the way that women's sports are covered on TV. And they note that there are some gains in how female athletes are portrayed, less sexualized than they used to be. But they say there's still not enough coverage, and the big statistic that they quote is that only 2% of ESPN's Sports Center involves female athletes. And they make a number of recommendations about how to create more equitable coverage of women's sports on television. But the fact is that television isn't programmed to reflect the way that we want the world to be. It's programmed to reflect the way that the world actually is. And sadly, in America, we use money to show how much we value things. And the money shows that Americans just don't value women's sports as much as they value men's sports. So if you want to change, and I hope you do, I say, instead of saying, hey, media, you've got it wrong, let's go out and buy tickets. Let's go to games. Let's buy merchandise. Let's support the sponsors. And then we actually have to tune in and watch SportsCenter, because if we're not part of their audience, they don't need to cater to us.
I mean, I think you're right. At some point, you have to blame the audience. However, there is a bit of a chicken and egg thing, I think, over the long term in terms of building interest in women's sports. But I don't think the answer is just, well, let's turn over half of SportsCenter to women's sports. In some ways, the audience would feel like you're shoving us down my throat.
I know I disagree with Karen. I think I disagree with Patrick. I don't think television reflects anything. I think television, in partnership with corporations in America, creates interest. They're selling shoes, they're selling drugs, they're selling beer, they're selling cars, and they're selling insurance.
Well, it sounds to me like, Bill, like you're in the Don Draper camp here. Like, we could sell the audience anything if we just put our minds to it. If we could make you drink a Bud Light Limerita or whatever it is, we could get you to watch the Women's World Cup.
And if the corporations got behind that, they would do it. They would create the interest.
I don't think they're going to create that much of a difference in interest. Look at two of our local sports teams. The New England Patriots have an average attendance of more than 68,000 a game, and you practically have to rent out your spare room to afford a ticket. The Boston Breakers only get 2,500 people a game, and tickets are as low as a dollar. That is not the influence of media. That is us choosing where we want to spend our dollars.
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been Only Games' Karen Given and Patrick Ruby, contributing editor for Vice Sports. Patrick, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And Karen will wrestle with this when we get back in the office.
This fight.